Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee, plus 15% off your first order with code BUTTERY. So head to BOLLandBranch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
So we've actually had a couple of questions in.
Oh, wow.
So we should deal with those first.
Yep. This is exciting.
One question, I can't find the original question, but I remember receiving it. I can't remember where it was. So I don't know who it's from.
Right.
Someone was asking, are we going to do a Eurovision special?
It's too late for that now, isn't it?
I mean, I tuned in for the voting.
You didn't watch the songs? Right.
Yeah.
No, I didn't watch any of it.
Right?
No.
Oh, okay. Well, I suppose the short answer is no, we're not going to do a Eurovision special this year. No,
but we're sort of like a weekly Eurovision, aren't we?
Yeah, well, exactly. Yeah, we're sort of like Graham Norton every week. I mean, we could watch it back. There's nothing stopping us from doing like a belated Eurovision episode.
Oh yeah, we could do that. Yeah, yeah.
Well, way I watched it.
Okay.
Well, I watched. I think. This is the way I'll go from now on, actually. Watched all the performances, then went to bed.
Right.
And then
not knowing the result.
Watched the results in the morning.
Okay.
How could you sleep, though? How could you possibly sleep not knowing who won?
Yeah, I wasn't that excited.
Between us, we watched the entire Eurovision spectacle. Because I watched, I turned in, I think I tuned in as the UK were getting 0 points in the public vote. And I was like, nature is healing. And then and then just kind of watched what was Italy's performance like, Matty? Was it good?
Brilliant, yeah.
Right.
It
was good.
It was because have you heard the song?
No,
I haven't heard it.
They're a kind of a cartoon rock, heavy rock band, they're a bit someone described them as an Italian Rage Against the Machine. But
is it sort of like Lordi when they did their big
not like because they wore masks and things, didn't they? And they had the croaky voices, didn't they?
Yeah.
This lot are a bit more, I guess, Rage Against the Machine or Faith No More style.
You know. So since
a bit of rap as well,
right?
You know, metal rap,
rock
metal.
Rap, yeah.
When is
in Italian?
Since when has it been bad for rock and roll bands to take cocaine?
I know.
I thought it was like what you expected to do.
But he let us down. He wasn't. He didn't.
He didn't.
He got tested and he.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Didn't imagine they did that in the past.
Mm.
So more Eurovision entries should be doing cocaine. Interesting.
So. Yeah. It was just like Emerson, Lake and Palmer, one of those bands, and
I thought the bass player reminded me of Susie Quattro,
right?
Which was a plus point. Null point.
Did we not get anything at all?
Is that a spoiler?
A spoiler alert! We should have put a spoiler alert in there.
And we were the only country that didn't score.
Because that's just because it's Brexit, isn't it? Because we left.
According to Liz Truss, she's reported as saying it's not Brexit. It's she's trying to pin it on the BBC's selection process.
Well, I think that it's... Because I think the UK always just completely misunderstands what Eurovision is, don't they? Yeah, it's supposed to be, you know, big and colourful and crazy. And and the UK is always like, let's do a song, a thematic song. You remember they did that school song? They did that song about being air hostesses.
Yeah.
They're blue. I feel like it's just... they've never really picked a good song, have they?
Remember Engelbert Humperdinck was on a few years ago.
Did I dream it, or did the Pet Shop Boys not once enter it?
I think you dreamt that.
Right, okay.
Yeah.
Because they do all right, wouldn't they?
Mm. Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, right, okay.
Yeah.
Need more of that.
Anyway, I was saying before we started recording that last week's episode, I had to really edit it down. So we're going to stay on task this week.
Yep.
But you're not going to have to edit any of this out. This is...
this is gold.
Yeah. It's all gold.
A couple more questions came in
from
Steve. One question was regarding your anecdote, Richard, about bonking. We were talking about
yes,
and Deacon Blue.
Okay.
He was just interested to know if you can remember what song.
Oh God, I don't know. I don't think it was the first album. I don't think it was like. No. I don't think it was like. It certainly wasn't Dignity.
Wasn't.
It was
Dignity.
One of the more upbeat one. It was possibly that one, the train one.
Okay.
The one that goes woo woo woo.
Oh, that one.
Real Gone Kid. It was possibly something like that. But
Real Gone Kid. Right.
Couldn't be certain. Couldn't be certain.
Mm. Okay. Right. There we go. I hope that satisfies you, Steve. And the other question was directed at Robin, regarding your hit podcast, Hugh Do Hugh Think Hugh Are. Yeah, you said that when you run out of films for Hugh Grant, you might move on to someone else. Have you considered Hugh Bonneville?
Well, we have considered some Hughes, but unfortunately, I'd say fortunately, actually, a couple of very me and my podcast partner Zoe have both pitched two very good ideas in our opinions, so we're kind of trying to work out which one we're going to do right now. One of them does have a very good pun right now, but I won't reveal it because I feel like she'd be mad at me if I leaked podcast news onto a different podcast. So, but thank you for the interest.
So we might be moving away from Hugh themed.
Well, if we watch Hugh Bonneville films, we just have to watch Hugh Grant films again because they have quite a lot of crossover. I'm not sure I ever want to watch any of those again. So, you know.
Well, I'd like to thank you because I don't feel the need to watch Bridget Jones' Edge of Reason.
No, not a good movie.
After listening to your latest episode. There we go. I've seen the first one, but I don't need to see the second or the third now. So
yeah, I don't think you do.
Yeah. Right. Shall we listen to the first song?
Please.
Yeah.
A couple of these this week are quite long, so I might not play the whole thing. We'll see. This is Black Midi. John L.
Sonny boy, backed only by accordion. Three rows of pale brunettes protect him from the crowd, and a curtain is a patchwork of imitation vermilion, and a red ball hangs over the throne that has been found. This is a scene on Main Street when John 50 comes to town. Yes, this is a scene on Main Street when John 50 comes to town.
and gender are about. Senor Kirschling's kiss, detailing each attendee's sins. The first time anteaters lose themselves in the wings. With vigor they scratch red spots, overwhelmed by their king. In all the world, there's no escape from this inferno dim. In all the world, there's no escape from this inferno dim. The true epiphium from all boys and girls. Come, listen to these, my eternal words. Judge not who you see by whatever they may say, but by their round eyes, lips, ears, and curves. A man is his country, your country is you. All bad is forewarned, all good will come true. His words are heard on Main Street when John 50 comes to town. Yes, these are the words on Main Street when John 50 comes to town. The garbling non-song whips strong into frenzy. The echoes of his crooning now cease to be heard. No longer pale brunettes are broken in two and thrown to the snouts of the antidote crew. John 50 is intolerant, his soapbox usurped, his own robe adorns the tree stumps of the earth. No hat with an army will last long before he breeds men who yearn for their own bloody glory.
That's John L, and that's new from Black Midi.
Right. So, what made you?
Where do we start there?
What made you choose that?
Well, I was quite. I was quite surprised to have heard that a couple of times during the day on the radio.
Right.
I thought who decided to playlist that song on Six Music.
Is your radio still in working order?
Yeah. Would you call that math? Is that math rock? Is that
math rock? Prog math rock.
Yeah.
Would you say, Robin?
Yeah. I mean, yeah.
It's kind of very precise. Lots of changes
rock?
Of rhythm.
Art rock. Yeah.
Art rock. Yeah. Listeners should check out the video as well.
I feel like I had just been to see an art house movie with my mates, and you know, we're gonna not talk on all the way home. You know, we're just gonna have a little think about what we just saw.
What we've just seen, yeah.
And yes. You know.
It reminded me of like Legs Akimbo, dance troupe on League of Gentlemen. Right. It reminded me of that. Yeah. It was just, there was a moment in it where I did feel I was in a theatre somewhere, just like, I'd literally chop my arm off to get out of there.
Well, I think that it's live theatre and someone is going to come up to you and chop your arm off, to be honest. But, I think you're in this now, Richard. It doesn't matter if you like it or not. It's just, you're there, you're involved. So
I'm part of it. Yeah. Yeah.
Are they Irish? Is it the guy talking? Did he sound a bit
well,
Irish?
This is what I was confused about, because I thought they were from London. Am I wrong about that?
I think they're Londoners. Let me just
look
that up. Yeah.
Who was
Londoners.
Doing the vocal
I mean,
on it?
I mean, you know, it could be that someone is from somewhere else and lives in London. You know, that is a story I've heard before in the world.
That does happen, doesn't it?
I did wonder if it was a guest. It was a guest doing the vocals.
But, I think that's what he sounds like. Because I remember listening to the first album and thinking like, oh, this is, you know, because the music kind of builds and then you hear that and it's like, it has that feeling of being almost part of a different thing. I don't know.
Yeah.
And I'm speaking as someone who thoroughly enjoyed that song.
Right.
But it feels discombobulated, I guess.
Yeah. The most listenable bits of my were, I saw it reminding me of those like bands like Les Savvy Five and American math rock types do complex chord changes and have a kind of crazy guy shouting over the top. But there was this whole other thing, wasn't there? There's this whole kind of like progressive thing going on.
I feel like the more ambitious they get with that, the more stuff they throw in, the more it sounds like something that Frank Zappa would have done.
Yeah.
King Crimson.
Yeah.
That sort of thing.
Yeah.
The more ridiculous it gets,
Zappa-esque.
Now, you two both told me before we started recording that you're both quite tired. Would you say that that is something you want to hear when you're tired?
No.
No.
I can't. No. I'm trying to imagine a time when I would want to hear it. But at the moment, I can't think of one. But maybe there is.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm not sure. I'm not even sure if I like it, even though I submitted the song.
That's part of the joy in these things, isn't it? To talk about something. So.
What kind of social experiment is this exactly?
I was interested to find out what you two thought of it, though. And it's, it is quite challenging to the ear, isn't it? And it's very impressive as well, isn't it? You know, whether you like it or not, it's, you know, that anyone could come up with that.
Yeah.
Were they just jamming in the studio and came up with
it? It's kind of weird because...
Yeah, it's more than that, yeah.
Yeah. I feel like, you know, most of the time when a band does something super techie, it's like kind of boring, isn't it? But maybe now that I'm getting older and hating songs more, that was like genuinely exciting to hear them. I mean, I think most of all, it could have really fallen apart, but the two kind of bit, the bookends tying it together were just made it somehow feel, I came out of it thinking like, oh yeah, that did make sense. Yeah. That sure. That works. So maybe they tricked me. I don't know.
I mean, you know, I absolutely hated it. There's no, I'm not going to be around the bush. I could listen to every Captain Beefheart album in a row, or I'd listen to entire Cardiac's albums, and I just can't cope with that. I just can't cope with it at all. It just wound me up in the complete wrong way.
If they were using Americana timbres, you know, they were using some guitars and steel pedals and pianos, Richard, but it was the exact same song. maybe it would be different for you. Maybe if there was sort of unplugged version.
No, I mean, you know, there was the sections with the voice in were probably only one bits that I could just about deal with. But I just had this sense of trying too hard to be weird all the time throughout it, and that was it. I couldn't get over it, and probably that, like, yeah. There's a because you know that a load of people are going to pretend to like this because they're there's kind of a name to drop, you know, part of the sort of low London sort of thing, but everything.
I'm surprised they've kind of broken through onto relatively mainstream sort of areas, you know, because the first time I became aware of them, I'm sure they were on the Brits. Were they on the Brits or the Brit Awards?
I mean, I don't know.
Or was it the Mercury Prize?
They were on the telly. Brits.
I've managed to entirely avoid them. So I don't know how this compares with the stuff from previous.
I think it's similar. I think that, you know what? I think I'll take this over. Like, I feel like the buzz band thing now is like bands that sound like this. They're like weird and proggy and loud. Like Country Road.
Yeah, I had a similar issue with that where I couldn't deal with any of it.
I think I'll take it over like what has, you know, things that have been the buzz sound previously.
Yeah.
If this is the development, then fine, you know. But I mean, it's hot. It's pretty loud, isn't it? Pretty loud.
Yeah. Oh yeah, definitely. Yeah,
it's certainly. It's certainly a sound, isn't it? Yeah. But I don't know if this, maybe this is a trend because, I think we were talking off air last week about Squid. And their new stuff is getting a bit more down that proggy route.
I enjoyed the 1 second of that Squid song we heard.
Yes. Shall we move on? How about the Tragically Hip? Yeah, they've been around for a while.
Well, this is a really unusual choice.
Yeah, not necessary. That's the name of the song.
Sacred, everyone.
3-minute song. That's Not Necessary by The Tragically Hip. I don't know. I mean, I know they've been around for a bit, haven't they? I don't know anything about them, though.
This is certainly not a new buzz band.
No, well, they come from your favourite country, don't they, Robin?
Well, this is, I thought, you know, since I've been around on this podcast, it's been a lot of Canadian music, so I thought, why don't we just go straight to the source and listen
This is like old school Canada music. Yeah, isn't like Toad the Wet Sprocket?
Yeah, exactly. Justin Trudeau's kind of favourite band, you know, ice hockey's favourite band.
So
I thought that was Bare Naked Ladies. No.
Well, yeah, you
there's
know,
them as well, isn't there?
Yeah, there's them as well. But yeah, I mean, I think this is from I was worried about picking this because I'm going to have to say the word that I can't pronounce. Posthumous.
Oh yeah,
It's like a collection of songs.
Right.
They found I think the band because their lead singer died a few years ago. They found. I think this was part of some recordings that were burnt in a fire, but then retrieved somehow or something from an album they did in the 90s or something. So it's certainly not a new song in a very liminal sense, you know?
Yeah. So yeah, that's what I'm glad you explained that because I was trying to work out how there was new material about after he'd passed away. But I remember this a lot because they were always one of those bands in the 90s where they kind of, you know, there's like hints of REM in there and it's much more streamlined and commercial than REM, but somehow a lot less popular.
Well, I'm glad that you said that because I picked this song thinking, you know what, this will be an easy win with Richard because it's a bit hard and jangly at the same time, REM. Yeah. But I think I think what fascinates me about them is just that no one outside of Canada cares about this band at all. Like no one gives a shit unless they're Canadian.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee plus 15% off your first order with code BUTTERY. So head to bollandbranch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
So, and I've always quite liked them, so.
Well, yeah, it does that thing. I used to buy music like this sometimes, and it did that same effect on me where, you know, like, it's going along okay, but when it comes to that chorus, when he starts growling, I sort of, like, turned off at that moment,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
Were they still quite young when they recorded this then?
I think this one was recorded... I think this album came out in, like, 91. It was, like, their second album. So this is... As far as I can tell, the album that this is from, I could be wrong, I'm not Canadian, But I think it's their one of if not their most loved album. Right. Apples. So it's
It felt like it just felt like quite a mature sound. Like I could imagine.
All those bands did. A lot of those around that era.
Kind of like
middle-aged
rockers, don't they?
Middle-aged rockers. Yeah.
Well, I think Gord Downie seems like he was born a middle-aged rocker, from what I can tell. So.
But there's loads of bands. Like one of the bands that I like, I'm like Robin with it. I don't know how to say it, but I used to call them the Connells, but I think they're called the Connells.
Right.
They had a hit with 74, 75, and I used to listen to a lot of them, and it's kind of that similar to this.
Are they Canadian?
They're not Canadian, actually American, but they sound Canadian.
Was it 74? That's 75.
The one. That's the one.
I'll need to check this one out.
You've got to check that one out. Yeah, superb. Like, I've never met anyone that likes that song, and I absolutely adore it.
I don't like it either.
No.
Were Crash Test Dummies, were they Canadian?
Yeah, there's another one. They're Canadian, aren't they?
This is just a show about Canadian.
That's another song that I like that nobody else does. That.
Great. Yeah. You guys should record that little harmony you just did together.
So Robin, you're thinking Canada's a new thing, but it was going way back in the 90s.
Yeah, well, yeah. Exactly. Well, it's just, to me, there's something really appealing about like the band that never made it big outside of, well, they obviously they're huge in Canada, but like that doesn't count, you know.
It doesn't count because it's a different world, isn't it?
These little tiny esoteric bands never played an arena show in their lives. and like, this is, I'm kind of embarrassed to say this is the one like song that caught my attention in the last fortnight or something. Right.
We just know that, like, you just know that in like, I don't know what year he passed away in, but maybe a few years before that, there'd be, you know, in Toronto, there'd be a decent crowd down for a reunion show.
I think they had huge shows, really, like, really, really big. And like, yeah, like the Prime Minister was going to like talk to him backstage and stuff. Because I think it was sadly like quite telegraphed. I think he knew he was going to die, like,
right.
Like a long time, like a year or so before he did. I think he did a farewell tour.
The farewell tour.
It's a pretty crazy thing to do. To do, really, isn't it?
It is. Yeah. Because do you remember, like, it's like Wilco Johnson did that farewell tour and then didn't die.
Yeah.
Didn't he? He didn't die afterwards.
It's like imminent death syndrome, Mr. Show.
Well, he had a massive tumour, didn't he? And he got it removed and recovered.
Yeah.
He recovered. Do you guys know? Sorry. Continue.
Oh, go on. Sorry, go on.
I was just going to ask if you know the David Guest story about.
No,
this is a story that my girlfriend.
I'd be curious to hear it.
My girlfriend Jasmine tells this story.
He has died, though,
hasn't
he?
He did die, but he. Mm. I think he was on Big. He was on Celebrity Big Brother. And David Bowie's wife was also on, and David Bowie just died, and she announced that David was dead. So they all thought David Guest was dead. Ran up to his room and he was just asleep. He did a tour called David's Not Dead or something. Yeah. And then he did die before.
Then he
the
did
tour
actually
happened.
Die. Ironically, he did die afterwards. He's big in York. He used to live in York.
Yeah, well, his ashes are scattered in York.
Really? York City fans have a song about him.
Oh, they do, they?
they have a song about him, yeah. We're all going to go on the piss with David Guest.
Oh, I thought it was going to be like simply the guest, but okay.
Hold on. You said, sorry, I hadn't heard. David Guest is big in York, do you say?
He lived in York,
in York.
Right? He lived in York.
Wow.
I don't know what, like...
Pride of the Minster men.
Yeah. he had a house in... Whether he lived there all the time, I'm not sure, but he had a house in York.
Pre-Liza Minnelli.
Or post...
Post-Liza Minnelli.
It's post-Liza Minnelli, pre-death.
So wait, it was right. Liza Minnelli... I'm sorry, what's the missing link here? Was Liza Minnelli big in York?
No, his wife. He was married to her.
I see. I don't know that much about David Guest.
So
I don't think they were married that long, were they? But
No. So there's everything you need to know about David Guest.
The comprehensive history. Yeah, the man.
There we go, listeners. Informative. Let's have the last one. This is Andy Stott. Don't Know How, featuring Alison Skidmore. It's got a slow build up at the beginning. I'll probably edit this out. Go, that's Andy Stott, Don't Know How is the name of that track. Is that from an upcoming...
A new album. It's just come out, actually. Oh, yeah, is it... the new one. It's called...
Never the Right Time.
Never the Right Time,
I just saw it
in the corner
of the screen.
Thank you. Yes.
Sorry to burst the research.
No, it's not. I was struggling. It would have taken a few more minutes for me to find it. But I think he's done several albums. And funny enough, I've spent my life avoiding him. I've never really listened to him before. I've
always consciously heard good things. Avoiding him?
A bit of both. He's one of those like names that like, you know, it's like for the Boomcat crowd, you know, like mentioned all the time. And sometimes when you just hear names mentioned, especially when the name's Andy Stott, it just, I don't know. I just never bothered to, listen really. But I heard a few good things about the new one and I gave it a go and I do like it a lot. And, I don't know. So I don't know how it compares to his previous stuff. But I suspect it's more song-based.
Well, I don't know, because I was just reading his Wikipedia page here.
Yeah.
It says, Scott analogized making his music as a scientist who creates compounds by figuring out formulas that use studio gadgets and parts of other music.
Right.
It's an interesting take for someone who makes very pretty music.
Yeah.
Or that, you know, yeah. I mean, I like Richard, have also never listened to Andy Stott, really, just out of my own failing. and I listened to this album recently and was like, this is great. This is very pretty. And yeah, it's almost like pastoral electronics or something. It's like, you know, I'd like to be at the seaside, you know, house that the front cover is has on it. It's a vibe, you know.
Was it the sweets being unwrapped at the beginning that made you feel that
way? It was the Werther's Originals that Andy Stott was. He's opening some Werther's Originals and he thought, you know what, this, I need to fill out 20 seconds of the album.
I felt at the beginning, rather than unwrapping sweets, he should have been checking all his connections because there was a lot of buzzing going on. Didn't have his wires plugged in properly.
It took him a while to get going, didn't it? On that. Yeah, he was faffing about, but obviously left it in for atmosphere purposes. of him like plugging everything in. But once it gets going, it's really, really, really lovely. And there's almost like a it's electronica, but there's almost, well, a bit of Bach Psychosis type sound in there as well, like more atmospheric, little bit of shoegaze type thing going on in some of the tracks as well. So it's not just like, you know, a lot of that kind of stuff. I just, you know, when it's just glitchy electronics, it doesn't really hit me. But there's some really good bass tones in the record, and live bass played as well, you know, and then. With the addition of the vocalist, it's you know, so really brings a human element to it.
I suppose it's a bit warmer generally than...
Yeah, definitely.
Sort of thing.
Yeah. It's not just like, you know, clever, glitchy electronics. It's like...
nice chords. Yeah.
Lovely chords. Yeah, well, he said he was influenced by Prefab Sprout.
You know what? This is Jordan the comeback for a new generation.
And I suppose this is one of the reasons why I decided to have a listen to it. And I can really hear it. Some of those chords.
Now that you've mentioned that it's like the kind of sharp brightness of it is very... But Andy Stott is not writing as... ridiculous songs with his ridiculous concepts, I guess.
Not like songs about like the history of Michael Jackson or whatever.
I mean, that to me is so confident. It kind of feels like, because I guess like in my head he made like harder, more difficult music, but that kind of it sounds to me like he's come along and been like, I'm gonna show all of the like popular techno-y house pop artists who you know, get to play festivals and stuff, you know, like the crossover into the indie world, how to actually be good.
Yeah. Set those elements. I'd read about the album that he said he'd left it for a year. He'd made the record and then he left it on the back burner and then went back to it and completely redid it. You know, that's always an interesting thing in music. You know, you wonder what he had and how it then changed. But
Have you listened to the album? To more of the album,
The new whole album. Yeah, I've listened to the whole of the new album. Yeah. And it's generally pretty good.
If there's a lot of variation, because he says he also tries to make each track have a very different aesthetic by using a variety of equipment and musical influences, he says.
It's like a lawyer is just coming in and...
yes.
That's what he's saying. That's what he says.
Yeah.
Well, it's in writing.
Funnily enough, I almost had a last minute change of mind to put a different track on that was more song based than this. That was probably more like Down the Massive Attack kind of line, you know, sort of. But generally, it's a mixed bag of, you know, tracks like this with sort of like those, Alison Skidmore's vocals, processed and things with lots of atmospheres. And then there's some sort of harder edged, you know, house techno type stuff on there. Mm. You know, but yeah, it's a very listenable album.
Mm.
Right.
You know, genre do you think Paddy McAloon will influence next?
Well, he's already done hip hop, hasn't he? Because there's been several. who was the? Oh, I wish I could remember the hip hop guy that said he was influenced with. That'll come to me one day. But yeah, he seems to weirdly influenced almost everything.
Yeah.
What's your favourite Prefab Sprout album?
Steve McQueen.
I thought you'd say that.
I'd have to go with... you know what? Rich is going to kill me.
I don't know what he's going to say.
My favourite Prefab Sprout album is probably Let's Change the World with Music.
So. I can't believe you said that. That's the almighty.
It's so good.
I struggle with that one.
The only one I've actually owned, which I've destroyed, it's melted and it's unplayable now. But,
on purpose?
No, it must have got left in the sun. It was on vinyl, by the way. Was Swoon.
Swoon.
That's classic. That.
Yeah, it's an absolute corker. Mm. Yeah,
but I think maybe, Steve McQueen's got some great songs on it, though.
Yeah. Really, and the last one,
but I'm not sure about that. It's Thomas Dolby produces it, doesn't he? It's all very, I don't know, it goes a bit far. Especially with From Langley Park to Memphis, I think.
That's another great, I don't know. You know what? I think the worst influence Paddy McAloon's had on anyone is Tim Farron, leader of the Liberal Democrats for a time, who decided to make, I don't know, I'd say a sixth of his campaign about how much he likes Prefab Sprout.
Right. Anyway, we're going to keep it tight for this episode.
Yeah.
So let's.
Yeah. So we're about an hour now.
It's going to be. I think it's going to be difficult to give points this week.
It's a tricky one to compare those three tracks. Yeah. So they're all so different from each other. But we'll give it.
We'll do it though.
Give it a go.
Yeah. Who's going to go first with Black Midi then?
Go on, Rob, I want to hear what Robin's got to say about this. I know he's going to go high.
Well, I think it wasn't as good as Let's Change the World Music by Prefab Sprout, but I would probably give it an 8, because I'm very sceptical of these new, experimentally kind of rock bands that people like, but I think that Black Midi just sound really good, and... and I think this could be the album for me. I think this could be the one. You know, I didn't really listen to the last one, but I think I'm prepared to like the new one. You know, I'm prepared.
Right.
To be
okay. Right. You give that.
This is the only song I've heard.
Good luck.
The only song I've heard from the new album. I'm not sure whether. Yeah, as I said before, I kind of maybe respect it more than like it. You know what I mean? I think it's. What they're doing is, I don't know, quite extraordinary in some ways. But whether it should be done is another question.
the march of progress.
Yeah. I don't know, a cop out 7.
Okay. Well, I'll neither like nor respect it. and I did wonder if I was a bit harsh before, and
We can listen to it again if you want.
It's okay. It's okay. Thank you. I do remember what happened. But I'm going to give it a generous 2.
Oh.
Oh, that could be a quick one record. Low.
It's this is going to sink their career.
Hopefully.
And then we moved on to the tragically hip. Yeah.
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 Robin,
I mean, you go first.
Look, great song. I know that I didn't bring something, you know, that is either new or upcoming, but I like the Tragically Hip, and I thought that was a fun little romp. So I'm just going to give it an 8. There's nothing else to say.
You know. 8, right? I wasn't as enthusiastic about it. I'm afraid it's going to be a 6 from me.
Well,
for the pure nostalgia of remembering what the 90s were really like, it wasn't all My Blood Valentine and Slow Dive and things like that, and it was listening to Canadian bands.
It was a hard time, son.
But 6.5.
There was another band, wasn't it? Hootie and the Blowfish. Remember them?
Oh, they done one enormous album, didn't they?
They were massive. Follow up
was a total disaster. Yeah.
Anyway, and finally we had Andy Stott,
the Stottmeister.
Robin,
sorry, I'm going to recover from that. I'm going to give the aforementioned Stottmeister an 8. Use the word 8 over and over again here. Because
altogether positive week for you then. Yeah,
yeah. I'm happy. Yeah, I'm I'm a happy-go-lucky guy.
Good. So happy.
This is nice, lovely music. I'm going to go back and listen to this album again now. So, yeah.
I thought it was all right, but I didn't feel it really went anywhere either. And I just thought, you know, it's had some nice sounds on it. Mm. I hear what you're saying about what you said earlier, but I'm afraid it's going to be a 6 again.
You've not liked anything this week, Matt, have you?
Not really. I've given the highest mark to Black Midi. I didn't particularly like that one either. It's your chance to save Andy Stott, Richard.
Well, I like it a lot. I can see what you're saying, though. It doesn't go anywhere. I like it as an atmosphere piece, I suppose. And it was kind of hard to choose a track from the album to play on the pod. I'll give old Stottie an 8.
An 8?
Yeah.
So it's a resounding victory this week for the Stottmeister himself, Andy Stott.
Stottie.
Like, Richard's like a tennis player, he's just won a set of, fist pumping. Yeah.
There's all kinds of celebrations going on here. Yeah. I'm going to go out all night tonight and paint the town red.
So there we are, get in. There it is.
Get in.
Yeah.
But an interesting week, isn't it? It's been a really interesting week this week.
Yeah.
Because basically, I was offended by Matthew saying that all I listened to was jangly indie pop. So, but it seems that everyone's chosen something a bit different this week.
Yeah. Well, the floodgates have opened now. When I was invited onto the show, Richard told me to strictly choose indie pop. But now, I don't know who to believe now. So. And is Andy Stott indie pop? I think not. So.
No, I don't think so.
Yeah,
no.
There we go. Oh dear, what have we created?
What we started?
Right. So that's it. Yeah. So I'm sure lots of people have lots of opinions about the music we've played this week. All our legions of listeners. Please feel free to comment.
Tell us what you think. Tell us what you think.
We do, for the older generation, we have a Facebook page. we haven't got onto TikTok yet.
I was going to say, are we not on there yet?
There is Twitter. There are other means as well. Well, you can listen to us, obviously, on various platforms, including Apple and Spotify and other ones.
Oh, it's just amazing. Yeah. We're everywhere.
What world we live in.
Yeah. Yeah. It's so easy to be connected and so easy to be ignored, isn't it?
That's the horrible truth about modern life.
Who said that?
I don't know. Me. So, thanks once again, and join us for the next brilliant installment of Supermod.
One-800-Flowers.com is more than your birthday, anniversary, or just because gift-giving destination. We put our hearts into everything we do to help you celebrate all life's special occasions with friends and family. From our farmers and bakers, florists and makers, everything from 1-800-Flowers is made with love every step of the way, because we know that nothing is more important than delivering a smile. To learn more, visit 1-800-Flowers.com/ACAST. That's 1-800-Flowers.com/ACAST.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight, and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.